Hello everyone, good morning. My name is Grace and I currently help co-lead Lion Rock House Church. Before we begin today's devotions, I'll open us up in a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning that we get to hear of your power and your work, and I pray that today your word would speak to us, that ultimately we would be able to start this morning having heard from you and seeing you more. And so, God, I just pray for this time. I pray you speak through my words and speak through these devotions and ask that, Lord, you're the one who would encounter us today. So, just thank you for this time that we have. Lift this up to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's reading comes from John 11:38 through 57 and 1 John 4, 1 through 3, so you can open up your Bibles there. I'll read from the ESV version for us this morning. So starting from John 11:38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Jesus therefore no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? That he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should let them know so that they might arrest him. And then 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So for today's devotions, I will specifically focus on the passage from the Gospel of John. What we see here is that John narrates two reversals, both of which involve the movement from death to life. So the first reversal that we see, which is a pretty well-known story, is that of Jesus resurrecting Lazarus. So why is this miracle actually so significant? The idea or the miracle of resurrecting a beloved that have passed away is actually not an unknown story or phenomenon within the biblical narrative. If we think about the Old Testament, we have seen stories of Elijah raising a widow's son. Later on, Elisha performs the same miracle and raises up the son of a Shunammite woman. And actually, Jesus, in the other gospel accounts of Luke and Mark, has also already resurrected people before, including Jairus' daughter and a widow's son in Nain. And so the question becomes, why is this resurrection or this miracle so significant? So I've made three observations as to why this is such a significant miracle. The first is that it is the climactic and final sign that Jesus performs. Scholars have agreed that the first half of the Gospel of John constitute what is frequently called the Book of Signs. Signs that are important because they point to Jesus' divinity. And so what John does in the first 11 chapters is he narrates stories of Jesus's performing these signs so that witnesses and readers can read it and believe in him. And in so doing, they find life. And so we've heard a lot of these so far, from Jesus turning water into wine, from healing the official's son, healing the paralytic, and most recently, this past Sunday, about the healing of a man born blind. So actually, Jesus's act to raise Lazarus from the dead is the climax of all of these signs. It's this final sign he performs before he goes to the cross. The second significant thing about this miracle is that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. In response to Jesus's comment to take away the stone that was covering the entrance of the tomb, Martha exclaims in verse 39, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." 4 days is actually a very significant term because there was the common rabbinic belief that after a person had died, their soul would hover over the body of the dead person for 3 days, intending on re-entering the body. But once the body started to decay, which is around the fourth day, the spirit was locked out and could not re-enter. And so the soul would depart. So on the fourth day, would be the signal and sign that there would be no more hope of a return to life. In other words, even though a resurrection was improbable, the fourth day would signal the complete impossibility of it. All hope would be lost after the fourth day that this dead man would come back to life. And so the man is surely dead and could not possibly resurrect. Which leads to the third significance or point of this miracle. Number three is that the miracle was way beyond Mary and Martha's belief or expectation. So earlier in this chapter, which we didn't read today, but with yesterday's reading, you'll notice that the two sisters, actually, when they first approach Jesus, when he returns, comes to the tomb, they say the same exact thing. If you read in verse 21, when Martha first sees Jesus, she first says immediately, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Later in verse 28, we see the encounter between Mary and Jesus. And Mary likewise begins the conversation with, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Both Mary and Martha had been with Jesus from the beginning. So they had seen all the previous signs up until this point. They knew Jesus was capable of healing. They had seen him heal so many people. And so they had no doubt that if Jesus had been around earlier, that he could have healed Lazarus. But the notion of Jesus' power to raise a man from the dead, they had no understanding or comprehension of that, much less a man who had already been in the grave for 4 days. So for them, their issue was not that they did not believe Jesus was powerful, but they could only understand the working of his power within their comprehension. They only understood his power within the confines of their own expectation and experience. And yet, despite their limited understanding of who Jesus is and what he is capable of, Jesus still moves forward to work in his own timing and in his own way. So rather than healing Lazarus, he brings Lazarus back from the dead. So how about us? How can we apply or respond to this text? I have two thoughts. The first is, number one, let go of how you expect God should work. And two, allow God to expand your experience of his power. One, let go of your expectation. Two, let God make an expansion. I think, at least I know for myself, we often have our own expectation of how we think God should work. We expect that he actually should operate within the parameters of what we think is best. In other words, we have in our minds what the best case scenario should be. We expect that if God is all powerful, then he should operate within those parameters. Mary and Martha, they both expected that the best case scenario would have been Jesus's presence when Lazarus was sick, because they knew from experience that Jesus could heal. So they thought, had Jesus been there, Lazarus would have been healed. He would not have died. But when things did not go according to their own expectation of how God should work, they lost hope. So when they see Jesus, they cannot help but say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And I wonder how many of us have maybe uttered similar words or thought similar thoughts. Jesus, if you had been here, maybe this wouldn't have happened. If you had done this, then we wouldn't have to go through this. Jesus, where were you? And that's not to belittle the things that we do face. I think the challenges or difficulties that we face are real. There is real despair. But perhaps the point is not to put your hope in a certain way of things turning out, or putting your hope on a certain ending. Rather, instead of placing our hope on our own expectations or on our own circumstances, the invitation is that we can find our hope in him. God will move in his own way. And so we need a paradigm shift to realize that God, the God we know, we have limited. He's too small. But the God who is real is actually greater, more powerful, more wise than we can even understand in our limited capacity and experience. Mary and Martha both understood that Jesus was able to heal. Their hope was that God would, you know, Jesus would heal Lazarus. But they had no notion or expectation that Jesus had the power to resurrect. Despite their lack of understanding, Jesus still performs the most amazing sign, the final sign before he goes to the cross. He raises Lazarus from the dead. So let him expand your experience of his power. I'm reminded of this interaction in the Chronicles of Narnia. I'm a huge Narnia fan. I loved the books when I was a kid. And in the fourth book, in Prince Caspian, C.S. Lewis writes of an encounter between Aslan, a lion who represents the person of God, and Lucy, one of the main characters. And in the story, Lucy, who had not seen Aslan for a long time, re-encounters Aslan and comments that Aslan is bigger. Aslan's response to her is that he's not bigger, but actually she, Lucy, is older. He says to her, I am not bigger, but every year you grow, you will find me bigger. And so it was for Mary and Martha. They had seen Jesus perform miracles and signs. They had seen him heal. And now they see him resurrect their beloved brother. And as they grow, they keep finding Jesus bigger. And so it is with us. I think every year we grow, we will see how much bigger Jesus is. That's exactly what we see in this passage. And it's interesting because this passage actually foreshadows an even bigger thing that will happen. And so, though Jesus had performed this groundbreaking sign, God has something even bigger in store, even more ground shaking than even this. And that would be the miracle of the cross. And so that leads to the second reversal that John highlights in this passage. And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so by the end of this chapter today, we get hints of the cross. Because the culminating act of the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the grave actually sets the events, series of events that would lead Jesus to the cross. And yet in verses 51 through 52, John comments that even though Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. And so we are reminded of Jesus' words in John 10, 14 through 16, where he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock, one shepherd." So the passage we read ends with preparation towards the Passover. And John has in mind the foresight that Jesus is the Passover lamb, the sacrificial lamb who would bring about forgiveness of sins, that his death would not be the end. He will lay down his life for the sheep and resurrect. And that becomes a third reversal. It's a picture of our reversal. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Maybe for many of us, we've seen God working powerfully in our lives, and perhaps you're going through a situation that seems beyond hope. You don't know how circumstances could work for the better. My encouragement to you this morning is not to find hope in better circumstances, but to look to him. We can find our hope in him. And why can we? Because the most catastrophic event of all time, if there should have been any hopelessness in any extreme, would have been the moment when Jesus died on the cross. And I imagine the disciples, when they stood at the foot of the cross, probably thought to themselves, "Jesus, if you had been here, Jesus, if only you had not died." And yet this very death of the divine son is the very reason that we have life. So take heart. See your circumstances through the lens of the gospel. He is doing far more than you can know or understand. He is the good shepherd who walks with his sheep, who brings about the great reversal in our lives. So let go of your expectation. Let God make an expansion. Let him remind you of his work on the cross. Perhaps we are in the season of growth, and we will find him bigger this year. So I'd like to invite Sherling to lead us in a time of worship. And as we begin worship, I just want to close with one verse from Ephesians 3:20, which says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I just want to invite you to worship and meditate on how you can let go of your own expectation and allow God to expand your experience of his power.
You're God in heaven and here and my honor. Surrender my words to feed. Yes, I stand in awe of you. And I let my words be filled. Jesus, I am so in love with you. The simplest of our love songs I want to bring to you. So I let my words be filled. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I stand. I stand in awe of you. And I let my words be filled. Jesus, I am so in love with you. I stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand in awe of you. And I let my words be filled. Jesus, I am so in love with you. Jesus, I am so in love with you.
I'm gonna read the intercessory prayer from the One app to close the worship time. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for unity in our churches, for an end to the division between churches and denominations, and those who uphold different traditions, and for those within a church community to dwell in perfect unity. Help us to put others before ourselves. We pray for movements across our city who foster interchurch relationships, and for the various pastor groups that exist. We pray for more of these to arise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's go through our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family members who are battling through cancer and going through therapy. Let's pray for God's healing work for those in our community. Let's also pray for our community, friends and family who are battling illnesses, but also need to meet Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing and also for the word of salvation to move forward. Thank you. let's also pray for those who are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing and his touch on their lives. Let's also pray for those who are dealing with COVID, for healing, and also for protection for family members. Let's also pray for frontline medical workers and for God's protection and strength and his Holy Spirit to work through them. Let's also pray for our community, for people who are looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and for God's provision. To our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia, for Oasis House and PG&E's work there. Let's also pray for North Korea, for open doors for ministry there. And then let's also pray for missional opportunities, our partnership in Asia, as well as the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Let's also pray for the SP weekend gatherings that are online, for our Sunday services, The Well, SP Kids, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Spin and Spill services, and all any classes and meetings. Let's just pray that God's work will move forward and that we can encounter him this weekend. Let's also pray for Alpha, for logistics, as well as for the volunteers and guests, that they would be protected. Let's also just pray that they'll have fruitful conversations and that there'll be salvations that we'll see. Also pray for those who are pregnant in our church, especially during this time. Let's just pray for protection that and for just a safe pregnancy. Thank you. Let's also pray for house churches that are meeting today, for Bowen, Hollywood, King's Court, Malwan, and Southside. Let's pray that they will have a very encouraging time and space to encourage. I'll close us out in prayer. God, I thank you for just this morning that we can be reminded of who you are and that we can put our trust, not in good circumstances, but put our trust in you. And I pray that we would go forward today just reminded of this God who is so good, who is so much wiser and more powerful than we can even know. And I pray that that truth would grow in our hearts, that today we would know the gospel deeper, we would know of your great love evermore. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time of prayer. We thank you for all that you will do today and this weekend. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Hope you guys have a good day.